where we've been starting each night. With the Lord's help again, we desire to see Jesus.
Amen.
We desire to point you to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Thou hast put all things in subjection under His feet, for in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him. But now we see not yet all things put under Him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became Him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. The title of the series is We See Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful just to be here tonight. Thankful for Your amazing grace in our lives. Thankful, Father, for the mercy we realize as we look into the Word of God, how unworthy we are. I know how unworthy I am. And I'm thankful for the grace of Almighty God that has drawn me unto Yourself, brought salvation, and then has taught me some things, and we're thankful for that. We'd ask, Lord, You'd be with us tonight and teach us even more. Mostly tonight, Lord, we desire to see You. We desire to see You work. We desire to see You through the eyes of faith more clearly, more holy. We desire, Lord, to see You high and lifted up. We'd ask, Lord, You just reveal Yourself to us tonight, and especially, we pray, we know not the hearts of folks here, but we pray for anyone who does not know You as Savior. I pray tonight that through the preaching, through Your Spirit convicting, that one would see Jesus as their Savior. We'd ask it in His name. Amen.
Amen.
We're getting farther down the series now. We saw first the rejection of Jesus. And in that message, it didn't look that promising. He didn't look like altogether the Savior that the Bible would teach us that He is. We didn't leave Him in that first message, though, on the cross or in the tomb. We saw Him as a risen Savior. In the second message, we looked at then the reason why Christ died and rose again, out of Romans 14, that He might be Lord, Lord of all. Tonight, with the Lord's help, we want to see Jesus as the voice of authority. The voice of authority. We will take our first text in Luke chapter 4. The voice of authority. When Jesus speaks, planets listen. Whirlwinds listen. When Jesus speaks, all of creation takes notice. I believe that if Jesus told the rocks and the hills to cry out to His honor and glory, they would do that. He can use a donkey to speak. But when Jesus speaks, everybody in the world of creation should take notice and listen. We now know that at this moment, there are those that shake their fist in rebellion to God. You work with people, you know people, I know people that you try to talk to them about the Lord, you take them to the book, and they say, no, that's not for me. One day, and we dealt with this last night in the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, one day, everyone will bow to the voice of authority. Look with me in Luke chapter 4, verse 35 through 37. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. They were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. Jesus spoke with authority. It amazes me, the rebellion of man. But then at the same time, not altogether, because I just look in the mirror. And I see in my own self the ability to rebel. The propensity at times to rebel against God. But I know, as Brother Ross spoke this morning, there's coming that day. In that, especially when that millennial reign is upon this earth, and when the king decrees, that's final. That's done. The voice of authority has spoken. Absolute power. We said this last night. We'll repeat it. Authority because of ownership. He tells the planets where to go because he owns the planets. And he has authority through ownership. I own the car that I drive. I have the authority to do to it what I want to do. It's white right now. If I want to paint the thing banana yellow, I mean, why would you? But I could. You know, it's my car. I own it. He has authority through ownership. He created it all. By him was nothing created that was created. And he has ability through omnipotence. He's omnipotent. He's sovereign. He's God. And so the voice of authority rings out. The voice of authority here. Hold thy peace. Come out of him. And he did. The unclean spirit obeyed him. In Matthew chapter 8, we will look at just the first three verses. In Matthew chapter 8, as we begin to draw this series to a climax, and we begin to see more of the authority of Jesus and more of the Lordship of Christ, we'll see here in the first three verses of Matthew chapter 8, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Well, this had to cause quite a stir. Immediately that leprous skin was cleansed. You know that through the reading of the Bible, they would take folks that had that disease and just put them off to the side and get rid of them. There was nothing that could be done. The medical profession of the day just had no idea what to do with that. So they'd corral them all up over in a city just for themselves. But the voice of authority comes onto the scene. And he says five words. I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Immediately. No rebellion. No discussion. No debate about it whatsoever. I suddenly have visions of my children. Do this. Well, you know, Dad, maybe I... No. Do this. And you know how they're running around, you catch them, you look at, I want you to do this. It wasn't like that with the Lord. The voice of authority, and I don't believe he had to say it with sternness. Be thou clean. And immediately, leprous skin obeyed. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Verses 9 through 13. And when he was departing thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. So they're just trying to set him up. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then said he to the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Stretch forth thy hand. Now, couldn't do that. His hand was unable to do that. It was withered. But the voice of authority had spoken, and dead muscles obeyed. No debate, no question, no discussion, no hesitation. Because the voice of authority had spoken. Mark chapter 4. This is probably one of the most familiar. Mark chapter 4. We'll just look at verse 39 through 41. The Bible says, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? The voice of authority. The elements obeyed his voice. If he had told the sea to jump out of the lake and go up on top of the mountain, that's where it'd be. The elements obeyed the voice of their master. That withered hand. He stretched forth and those muscles obeyed. That leprous skin was instantaneously made whole and clean. And people are how's he do that? That's pretty cool. How does he do that? He's the voice of authority. John 11. One of the most amazing. John 11, verse 39. Jesus said. Now see, there it is. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. Lord, you don't want to move that stone. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. So we've seen just a sampling of leprous skin obeying the voice of authority and dead, withered muscles obeying the voice of authority. Winds and waves. Listen, not one molecule of water in disobedience to God. Not one molecule of water still bouncing around as they heard the voice of the Master, the voice of authority. And Lazarus, he's not only dead, but he's all bound up. He couldn't, if he was alive, he couldn't have come forth. But he said, Lazarus, because he didn't want to empty the graveyard, right? He said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, I mean, the Bible says he came forth bound. Let your mind think on that a little bit. He came forth. That dead body of Lazarus obeyed the voice of authority. That dead body of Lazarus came forth, and Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And isn't that an awesome picture of salvation? Where God calls out to that lost soul and says, come here. And he regenerates, and he gives repentance and faith. And the rest of our lives is getting those old grave clothes off. You know, loose him and let him go. And we spend the rest of our lives getting those grave clothes off of us. Putting off the old, putting on the new. But the voice of authority. Now, you realize that all that was going on here, through the other miracles and through this one, all it was working out is to the folks on the scene of the day, the religious gang, those nice, pious religious folks, they wanted to kill him. Verse 53. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they took counsel together for to put him to death. We can't have this guy doing this stuff. He is going to mess up our cash cow. We can't have him teaching what he teaches. The voice of authority. I want to look at four evidences briefly of the fact that Jesus is the voice of authority. First, in John 5, we look at four evidences. In John 5, verse 17, I'll just say, because he said so. John 5, 17. But Jesus answered them, and he said this, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. They recognized that if he claimed God the Father as his Father, that he was saying he was God. And they couldn't have that. They looked him up one side and down the other and rejected him. They couldn't have Him saying He was the Messiah, the Son of God, the sent one to save His people from their sins. But the first evidence that I give you that Jesus is the voice of authority is that He said so. He said He's the Son of God. He clearly stated His oneness with the Father. The second evidence that I'll put to your mind is that is because of who spoke the words. Now, I could say to the atmospheric conditions, I mean, Brother Reynolds was just loving pointing out the fact that it's 12, it's 10, it's 2. And I could say, warm up. Nothing happened, you know. I could say if it's cloudy, I could say, son, I want you to shine. Unless the Lord wanted the sun to shine, it wasn't going to shine. I submit the second evidence that Jesus is a voice of authority because of it is He that has spoken these words, and He proved His authority through the end result. The level of obedience was 100% when Jesus spoke. The level of obedience. Not only that He said it Himself, and it is Jesus who spoke these words to the leprous man, to the one with the withered hand, to the wind and the waves, to Lazarus. Not only that it was He said He was the voice of authority, not only that it was Him that had spoken the words, but the third thing, that 100% obedience every time He spoke. And fourthly, because of the fact that no one could overturn what He had done. No one could go back and overrule what the voice of authority had said. I ask you this question tonight. What kind of Jesus, what Jesus do you see? Do you see a sovereign Lord, King of the universe? Or one that can be manipulated, one that can be ignored forever, one that is up in heaven, wringing His hands, just trying to figure out how He's going to hold it all together? I hope somebody there in Forestdale tonight would just pick me. Or do you see the voice of authority, the Jesus of the Word of God that is the voice of authority? They wanted Him dead. And He even, in John chapter 10, tried to tell them, that's not going to help. That's not going to work. In John chapter 10 and verse 16, Jesus is speaking. He said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear My voice. They shall hear My voice. I will call them, they will come. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth My Father love Me, because I lay down My life, that I might take it again. Now listen, He told them, they wanted Him dead. But He told them, no man taketh... He's talking about His life in verse 17. No man taketh it from Me, but I lay it down of Myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of My Father. He told them, go ahead and murder Me. You can't take away from Me that which is Mine. Go ahead. And they clamored for His murder. We read in John, they sought the more to kill Him. We know that they clamored around at the cross, crucify Him, crucify Him. And they thought they got the job done. They thought they got the job done. But He told them, you're not taking My life. I'm laying it down. Just as specifically and as intentionally as if I take this And I said, well, I think I'm going to put it down. I put it down. Jesus laid down His life. They didn't take it from Him.
Right.
Nobody ripped this out of my hand. I laid it down. Nobody ripped the life of Jesus out of His body. I've read that stuff about they got Him so tired because He hadn't had any sleep the night before and all that baloney. He said, it's finished.
Right.
Now think about that. The voice of authority said, it is finished. Well, I wonder what he was talking about. That part of redemption's plan was done. And many will rightly go into deep theological debates about what was finished. I want to give you something really, really simple, because that's me. Really simple. I'll never have to do that again. I'll never have to be spit on again. I'll never have them put something over my head and beat on me and then say, who was it that hit you? It's finished. I don't have to do that again. Because He did it once in Hebrews 10. He sat down. It was done. Now I know there's more work to do. I get that. When Brother Reynolds built his house, he put the foundation down and he was telling me about setting the trusses up there. And at the end of that, he could say, it's finished. I'm glad those heavy things are done. And I'm glad Brother Alls brought the tractor to hell. But the voice of authority said it's finished. Wonder what they thought. They thought, yeah, we have gotten our way with Him. And He's given up. It's finished. It wasn't what He said. It wasn't what He meant. It's finished. I've completed what I came here to do. And we looked last night at Philippians 2. Because of His humbling of Himself. Because of His being obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. Because of this, God hath highly exalted Him, given Him a name which is above every name. We looked at Acts chapter 2 where Peter said He's both Lord and Christ. He's owner and disposer of everything. And praise God, He's Savior. Now look with me in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. If He's Savior, Peter said He was. The Bible says He is. In John chapter 3, beginning in verse 31. He that came from above. That's Jesus, by the way. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony has set a seal, or set to his seal that God is true. Now think about verse 32 and verse 33. If I got this thing figured out, no man of himself receiveth that testimony. But verse 33, he that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. He's the voice of authority. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. He said, John said, He's just here saying what the Father told him to say. He's the voice of authority. John chapter 5, we looked at some of these passages yesterday. John chapter 5, beginning in verse 22, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." You know, when He makes those judgments, those rulings, those final verdicts that Brother Ross spoke of, they're final. It will not be overturned. He is the voice of authority. There's no appeals court. You don't have the Sixth Circuit out west turning everything over. You know? The Father judges no man. He's committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. Do you honor Jesus tonight? The voice of authority. Do you yield to Jesus tonight? "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word," Jesus is speaking, "he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." The voice of authority said, "You hear me? You hear me? He that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me has everlasting life." But look at the next verse. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." The voice of authority. If you're saved here tonight, you responded to the call of the voice of authority. "The hour cometh, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God." B.H. Carroll, commenting on that verse right there, said something to this effect. I'm not good at quoting. But he said, "If you are here tonight, and my voice is the only voice that you hear, you will leave this place no different than you came. But if by the sovereign grace of God, you hear the voice of Jesus tonight, if you hear His voice, the voice of authority, you will leave this place altogether different, altogether changed." The voice of authority. Now, look at Matthew chapter 25. And now let Brother Ross get into the timetables of when these things take place. But just look at what's being said here in Matthew 25. Verse 31 through 34. "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory." You know, there's more, like Brother Ross kept saying this morning, there's a lot we've read about that has not come to pass yet. We're looking forward to that. But there's going to come a day when He comes in His glory, the holy angels with Him, "Then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." The voice of authority. will divide the nations, and He'll say to those that He's put upon His right hand, come. Verse 41. Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand. Now, the voice of authority is speaking. And He'll say to those on His left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The voice of authority has spoken. Oh, friend, I pray tonight that you hear His voice. I pray that tonight He reaches down in grace and speaks to you. If you just hear me, Brother Riddick after me, I pray you hear Jesus. And in Hebrews we saw that all things have been put under His feet, but not yet do we see all that. It hasn't all come to pass, but we see Jesus. Do you see Him tonight? It's a voice of authority. Look also in Matthew 7. In Matthew chapter 7, another familiar passage. Verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You see, in verse 21, we see the teaching that for that person that's truly saved, there'll be some fruit. None of this. Several years ago, I was baptized, or I did this or said that or whatever. But where there's life, there's going to be growth and fruit. He said, it's the one that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Not the one that just professes something with his lips, but someone that shows it with his life. How do we really know that someone has been touched by the grace of God? Just over time, you begin to see the fruit, the evidence that God has touched their hearts. But there'll be those that say, Lord, Lord, you know. Many will say in verse 22, in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? I was a preacher. And I preached in Your name. In Thy name have cast out devils. In Thy name have done many wonderful works. Listen to the voice of authority here. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. And these are some awful words right here. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. The voice of authority will say that. And it's final. It's done. And we said last night, you will bow to King Jesus. You will confess that He is Lord. Don't make it be here where you say, yes, sir, and depart from Him. Bow to Him now. He even said in Matthew 11, come. You're weak and heavy laden? Come. You're thirst? Come. You say, I'm not thirsty for Him. I'm not talking to you then. But if you're thirsty for Him, if you begin to have a hunger for Him, praise God, He may be working on you. The devil didn't put that there. Come unto Him. Surrender to Him. Listen to the voice of authority. Because His decision is final. There will be no debating. As these here try to argue their way in. They said, but we did this and we did that. No. The voice of authority said, no, I never knew you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody, no man, no woman, no boy, no girl comes unto the Father but by me. You can't overthrow that plan. You can't change that arrangement. The voice of authority has spoken. Hear Him and obey Him. For the child of God, the voice of authority, the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word. We also have the written and preserved Word for us today. The voice of authority, written and preserved for us. Take this book. Read it and meditate upon it and seek to obey it. And the first thing that it says to all, commands all men everywhere, repent. Repent. And again, you will. I just urge upon you, repent now. You say, well, you know, I talked to a fellow, you know, I'm going to get around to do that someday. You don't know that you have a someday. You have a right now. And may God work upon your heart that you cry out for mercy to the voice of authority. To the only one that has the power to tell a withered hand to come forth. To the only one that has the ability to take leprous skin and heal it. To the only one that can tell the wind and the waves, peace, be still. To the only one that can tell Lazarus when he's dead, come forth. And to the only one that can take you from being dead in trespasses and sins and quicken you and cause you to desire to walk for Him and serve Him and obey the voice of authority. And once that repentance, that initial repentance has been made, repent and surrender to Him every day. Continue to bow, continue to surrender, continue to yield to Him. He's the voice of authority. He will have His way. You can't run from Him and hide from Him. He knows where you are. Brother Reynolds.